Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Brought to you by Audi Norwell. Audi Norwell, your exclusive Audi dealer on the South Shore.
The ultimate football team.
The ultimate football show.
Welcome to the Fantasy Football Hour.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
The most comprehensive, in-depth presentation anywhere concerning fantasy football. The Fantasy Football Hour is brought to you by Anderson Windows and your local Anderson Window dealer. By Moxie Soda. By Gould's Distinctive Clothing. And by Atlantic Power Cleaning. The fun and games starts now.
Welcome to the jungle. We've got fun and games.
Here's Jim Hackett and Pete Davidson.
All right, good morning, everybody. Jim Hackett along with Pete Davidson. Good morning, my friend.
Hey, buddy.
Big news surrounding our little New England Patriots here since Friday night.
Jacoby Myers.
Yeah, let me tell you something about him before we get into the receiver we're going to talk about, Flash Gordon. Jacoby Myers just catches everything, man. Everything.
We talked about him last week.
He's
a dependable guy. I mean, it was really there in his college film. And it's funny, we talked about his quarterback last week.
Ryan Finley.
Everybody's talking about him this week,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's nice. Finley, maybe the Red Rocket is a guy we won't have to talk about much longer, Hack. Who knows?
I'm down for that. Ryan Finley's worth, if you have to, I always say it's just the way the draft falls to you sometimes. If you have to take Andy Dalton, if you're in a deep league, just take Finley with your last pick, get ahead of it.
Well, a really deep league.
Yeah, I'm talking like really 22 deep. To 25, rostered teams.
I wouldn't even touch him there, but maybe in a two-quarterback league or something.
Might be fun in free agency.
Yeah. Just quarterback's just too easy to fill right now.
Yeah.
Backup quarterback is the waiver wire I'm seeing guys get Mitchell Trubisky with the last pick.
Yeah, how about that?
Drafts. It's crazy.
Yeah.
There's just so many quarterbacks. And you know what? You know what's nice, actually? And this is good. We can talk about this on the show. People will appreciate it. I kept looking at my quarterback rankings, and you know me. I have no particular love for the Patriots, but I kept looking at where I had Brady in my rankings, and I'm like, man, that's not right.
Yeah, it was low.
That's just not right.
Yeah.
But you know, the ranking didn't have anything to do with Brady. It had to do with, this looks like a run-heavy, they're trying to win football games. They're not trying to help my fantasy team kind of offense, and we were looking at it as such. But that's going to change. I've already moved him up.
Yeah, with Flash coming in. Also, something that I caught last night, Damian Harris got his first real good look at Damian Harris.
As you know.
Yeah, look in the...
He almost finished that one nice run, that inside cut.
Yeah, took it right to the goal line.
Yeah, that was a nice run. A
beautiful run. He shows great vision. He's got really good vision, and he did a nice cut there. But what
he's
struck
no
me,
nonsense. That's what I like.
Yeah,
him.
What struck
he fits
me...
the scheme.
Let me tell you something. What struck me last night, though, was his receiving ability. He made a couple nice catches.
He's a solid receiver. He's not gonna blow you away, but he's solid.
I was just surprised to see him in that role. I was pleasantly surprised. He made a nice, the first catch he made, he reached out, parallel to the ground, caught it with his fingertips, and then he made another shoestring catch later. I'm like, this kid's got good hands.
He was my number one RB pre-combine, if you recall.
I'm
a big fan of Damian Harris. Listen, people... When you play for Saban for years, you're a good football player.
Yep.
In some ways that's lazy analysis, but he's a guy who played in a system where they don't allow you to not learn. And this is a guy, he's a lunch pail guy. I mean, he works hard and he's got underrated feet. The one thing that I always saw when I watched this film is that this guy's got good feet. Everybody talks about him like he's some kind of plotter. I don't think so.
No, he's not. He's just a big, strong guy. You know what I mean? So it's easy to kind of label him as just like a typical, Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis type runner, but he's not.
Jacobs was the more exciting back, so people, I think, gravitated to that.
Yep.
And I don't have a problem with people liking Josh Jacobs out of Alabama. But it doesn't have to be a one or the other thing. They can both be good.
Right.
Right.
And we've seen that. Alabama's produced multiple running backs that get drafted year after year after year.
And in typical Patriot fashion, and in typical Raider fashion, Gruden placed first-round value for his. The Patriots let a guy fall to them.
Yeah.
And I think in the end, probably the Patriots will win on that.
As they often do.
Yeah.
All right, so the news dropped on Friday night. I was out for a little while with my kiddos, and I came back, and I just happened to kind of, you know, check my email, and there was the breaking news. Josh Gordon reinstated. Yeah.
I enjoy that more.
Absolutely. He'll be the savior of the universe maybe for a few weeks. I think everyone's rooting for him. And, you know, my quick take on this is
that was when I stopped listening to Queen, by the way.
Yeah.
Just, you know, I really like them, but yeah. They sort of lost me on Flash.
Yeah, never a huge fan. Anyway, but look, this is it's a feel-good story, and I'm really obviously pulling for the kid. And just from a football perspective, he changes things immediately. It's like when the Red Sox, if they had added a reliever, everyone slots into a role. You put Gordon in there, and everyone kind of fits. That depth chart on receiver looks a lot better now. And so it's a big deal. And from a fantasy perspective, boom, he just starts surging up the up the draft board. So there's a lot to talk about with Gordon.
Yeah, I don't know how high I would take Josh Gordon in a fantasy draft, but probably not very high.
A lot higher than his ADP was going into Friday.
Well, no,
right?
he's not a late rounder anymore, obviously. But look, you know, we've hit this before. You know, this is exciting. I'm really hopeful. I'm really rooting for this particular player. He's been through a lot. He seems like a pretty good kid. But, you know, we've seen this before.
Yep.
And look, this is pure speculation. And let's be really clear. You and I both want this guy to play 16 games this year.
Yeah.
We'd really like to see it. And maybe more important than that, we'd like to see him finish his football career, not have any more bad things happen to him off the field, not become the subject
course of correct
attention. And look, for the most part, with the exception of, I know he had one incident with an automobile. So that was a serious incident. But, you know, the rest of his stuff, I don't know. To me, it's just young man stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you know, hopefully he's on a good road now. And but here's the thing, and we've seen it before. You and I have talked about that this on this show before. The intensity of being a pro football player has sort of been the thing that has gotten to him at points. So we just hope that the bright lights don't reignite the problems. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you know, that's the thing. So now he's going to come back. There's going to be a lot of reporters crowded around his locker. You know, all that attention. Hopefully, you know, he can handle that, and hopefully when he starts making his first big plays and all of a sudden all that positive attention comes back to him, hopefully he has learned to sort of cope with that attention, and it doesn't, you know, sort of reignite the demons. We'll just have to wait and see.
Well,
we're all hoping. I mean, Patriot fans are hoping for it for obvious reasons.
Oh, yeah.
But I think outside of New England, there's a lot of people rooting for this player.
Well, I'll tell you what. I mean, he's in the right place in terms of, like, wrapping a little bit of a net around him. I don't know if you saw last night.
Yeah, the Brady stuff is positive, definitely.
Not only that, but
I think... put out a statement earlier today. Anything you'd like to add to that?
No.
Not at all.
No, that's why I put out the statement.
That was so
it's my favorite line. It's like, nothing at all? No, that's why I put out the statement.
My friend Rummy, I retweeted that with a little goat logo. My friend Rummy, Johnny Rumford, he said, and Belichick likes that guy.
Right.
He said, that's one of his favorite.
Well, Steve Burton's dad was a great running back in the 60s for the Patriots, the great Ron Burton. So Belichick has, like, respect for him, but I mean, it was painful to watch. Poor
example
Steve.
Of Bill Belichick respecting a reporter.
Yeah. Oh, it was rough. But look, my point being there that they're going to do everything that they can to, you know, put a little bubble wrap around him. But it's on him at the end of the day. It's on him.
Thank you. That's exactly what I was about to say. And look, I mean, if I was Josh Gordon, would I maybe go out and, like, hire myself a babysitter? I might, you know, but I don't know what his disposition is. And we're not about to tell him how to live his life. But, yeah, the key is that he finds a way to get through those moments, you know, where he's, you know, anybody in recovery is going to have some weak spots, right?
Yep.
And it's a matter of riding over those spots, getting through those moments, and hopefully he's in a place where he's prepared to fight that fight, and hopefully he's got a support system, you know?
Yeah.
I'm really rooting for this guy.
Me too.
I really am.
Me too. And what actually surprised me on this whole thing, and this is just like one of the first things I thought of, is like, you know, I've been thinking about him all off season, and then I'm like, I wonder if he was on the Chiefs or the Texans that he'd already be reinstated. I'm actually a little surprised that the...
Why would you say that?
Well, I'm going to tell you right now that the chimpanzees in the NFL office actually looked at this as an individual case and didn't... you know, use it as an opportunity to strike down the Patriots. I'm going to sound like a Patriots sycophant with that. But there is a little something with that. But I was actually, it was a mature decision, you know, by the NFL to separate the two. And I was frankly a little bit pleasantly surprised about it. And that's what I tweeted out on Friday night after I heard. So
okay.
Just on that.
All right. Yeah, go ahead.
Let's not
go.
Taking the cheese?
No. Let's talk about this player, okay?
Yeah.
It's much more fun to talk about Josh Gordon as a football player anyway, because that's the whole reason this whole thing is so huge, is because he's
great
a
on
phenomenal
the field. Yeah.
Talent. And this is a chance for the Patriots to go back. I mean, look, I'm not saying it's going to be like Moss, okay? But it's a chance for them to get back to that offensive paradigm where you've got an X. Like you said, everything sort of can flow from this player.
Yeah, everyone takes a different role.
Conversation. Yep. And I agree with you. You can put this guy at an X, and you don't have to make him a chess piece. You just go, okay, here he is. You can deal with him. And everybody else becomes chess pieces, right? Because you can now scheme around the ripple effect this player creates. He can tilt the field if you actually get him up at his top level. And then the question becomes, can you protect Brady? Now we start seeing Brady running more deep drops and stuff like that, and that part of it becomes interesting because we're asking a little bit more of our older quarterback and we're asking more of our offensive line. Can you protect for another count? If we're going to get that old deep game going, right?
Moss
used to run a ton of deep stuff.
There's another layer to that, too. You saw last night the return of Isaiah Wynn, who was drafted in the first round in 2018 and went out with an Achilles injury, a serious one, at preseason game two last year. So it's literally almost like a year to the day. He's back on the field, and the highlights look pretty good. I'm not an offensive line expert, but he held his ground. He looked good on a two-point conversion and on another touchdown in terms of just, not letting the edge get set on defense, for Tennessee. So, yeah, he looks like he can play it. They say he's undersized. I don't know how if you could be 6'2 and 305 pounds and be undersized. But if you compare him to Trent Brown from last year, who was, 6'10 and, 400 pounds? Yeah, I guess he's a little undersized. But
we've talked about this before, but give the Patriots so much credit for understanding where the quarterback is in his career,
yep,
and adapting the offensive personnel to deal with that. It's the opposite of the Giants, where they have an old, immobile quarterback, and they let their line fall apart.
Yep.
The Patriots get it, And, this is going to be fun to watch all of a sudden.
They're going
to
be
I went from being like, Patriots are going to be really good this year, but they're going to be a little bit less fantasy fun, Now all of a sudden it looks like we might get both.
I think you're right. And there's just a lot of talent to deal with. Last night, a guy who didn't play, who if you play in a deep league is like Philip Dorsett, I've got my eye on him as like a late round potential sleeper. Now he'll probably be
less than we've seen.
Less so with Gordon coming in. But as I said, you add Gordon in there and then suddenly everyone else looks a little bit better. Like Jacoby Myers comes up, Gordon comes in, and then you can get a guy like Dorsett coming in like third, fourth, fifth in the depth chart and looks pretty good. So
yeah, we talk about football like it's chess, but it's chess with resistance, right? So now all of a sudden some of those smaller pieces, they're going to be functional. They're going to look really good when you go in. Like Jacoby Myers, you're going to be able to get matchups for him.
Yep.
Philip Dorsett, they're going to put him in there when they see the right matchups, right? They can sit there and mix and match with their personnel now because they've got Edelman and Gordon doing the big stuff, doing the heavy lifting.
And that's why it can give Brady a little bit of a bump, because the more people he has and the more, from game-to-game matchups that he can distribute the ball to, he's going to. I think he's proven that over the first 19 years of his career.
It's big. The Gordon thing's big. Obviously, it's only big to the extent that he can stay. Right. I mean, that's the thing.
Yep.
We now have to live under that fear that we're going to wake up and Josh Gordon's going to have had a problem last night.
Yeah.
That's going to be a thing all season long and into the playoffs, unfortunately. That's part of the deal. But as long as he's there, it replaces that element that they've always sort of had unless Gronk's been hurt, right?
Right.
It went from sort of Moss to Gronk. You've got that one piece that you can sort of work off of.
Stretch the field with him.
Stretch the field, draw extra defenders, tilt the field, however you want to describe it. But now they've got a guy like that. Gordon is, I've heard people saying, well, this guy could, has the talent to be a top 20 receiver. It's like, dude, he's got the talent to be a top 5 receiver.
He does.
So this guy's special. It's so interesting to talk about this because, we were all thinking, he'll probably show up sometime during the season.
I was surprised Friday night. I got to tell you, I was surprised.
We don't want to spend too much time on this, but it's sort of interesting. Now, in some ways, I'm more nervous for him. Like, now we have to get him through a lot longer period of time to get him to the playoffs.
Yeah.
Whereas if he shows up week 10, it's like, okay, if we can just
squeak 10 weeks out of him. Yeah.
Right, right. So now, in some ways, for the ultimate prize, this could be a little bit of a longer putt, but by the same token, just imagine 16 weeks of Brady Gordon goodness. That's, you know, that's fun to think about.
Well, the thing that struck me last year when Gordon came in was, you know, Brady pretty much, I'm not going to say instantly started to trust him, but it happened pretty quickly. Once he saw what he saw on the field, whether that was from, you know, practice or just a couple of throws early when he came in, it became very clear very quickly that he liked throwing to him. You know what I mean? I think it'll happen pretty quickly.
It's like back in the day when Eric Clapton came to jam with the Almonds, you know? It's like, maybe they liked Eric, maybe they didn't, but the minute he sat down and started playing, it's like, ooh, this is fun.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, greatness appreciates greatness. Like you said, I think when Gordon showed up, Brady, you
know, he saw
Brady's
it quickly.
Not stupid. He's a Hall of Fame quarterback. Yeah. I think it took him all 5 minutes to go, okay, we got a toy here. This is good. So, yeah, and is the fact that Brady's taken Gordon under his wing, is that because Tom is some great guy? Well, I mean, maybe there's a little bit of that.
It's part of that, I'm sure. Yeah.
But I also think there's a whole lot of, yeah, I'm going to take care of this guy as much as I can.
You've got to love him and squeeze him and pet him. Like, yeah.
Exactly.
Character on Bugs Bunny.
He's like Tommy. He's like Tommy Callahan, his pretty little pet.
Yeah, exactly. Hey. Whatever works. So that's
don't destroy it.
So big news. A lot to glean over the last 2 days with the Patriots. Obviously, you know, Gordon emerging, and then Damian Harris getting the, you know, getting the play that he got last night. I think was encouraging, but also as a Patriots fan, I would say a bit of a relief because there was a lot of silence around him before
really?
Last night. Well, just like he kind of wasn't getting the reps that you would think. With Michelle dealing with his knee for the early part of training camp, I think you would hear his name more, and you hadn't. And all of a sudden, he burst on the scene, and we got what we expected. So that was good to see.
Okay. Yeah, I wasn't too worried. You know what's one interesting thing? There's a lot of speculation going around on the Twittersphere, or whatever you call it, that Edelman would now be a little bit down in value.
I don't agree with that.
Yeah, I don't really agree with it either. I mean, I understand he'll probably lose a target here and there because Gordon's going to get more than whoever would have been there if Gordon wasn't there. But the way I see it, if assuming Gordon is Gordon and he works out, it should extend drives. It should increase the offensive pie, increase total yardage, increase red zone opportunity, increase the odds that the Patriots will be throwing inside like the 15. They were one of the most run-heavy teams in the red zone in the whole league last year.
That's right.
So particularly
at the end when Gordon was out.
Right, so I think overall Edelman probably retains most of his value. If he loses anything, it's negligible. I'm still very comfortable with him, mid to late third, early fourth round.
I was gonna say a third to fourth round is the place to get him. Look, he is the person he's the guy who makes it go when it's third down. So if they're on the field more and they're marching down the field, that dynamic doesn't change. He's the go-to move the chains guy.
Yeah,
and the more opportunities there are to move the chains, he's gonna get his.
Yeah, well, I was talking about this online with some people yesterday, and actually I was thinking about you in the conversation, and the last thing I said was, look, Binky gonna bink.
Yeah.
That's just, you know,
that's it.
You don't have to get too much more complex than that.
Whether it's third and eight or third and three,
right.
He's getting the ball.
We can talk about the fact that Gordon's going to do a lot of downfield stuff that can open up the underneath for Edelman. There's a lot of ways these players work together. Their route patterns don't intersect all that much. So I think there's a lot of reasons that you can use to argue pro Edelman here. But Binky gonna bank is probably all you need.
I think you just nailed it with that. I agree. I don't see him. I don't bring him a tick down at all. He stays right where I have him, and I've got him right about where you have him too, which I think is probably, you know, middle end of the third, beginning of the fourth round.
And you know what? Here's another thing. If it does cost you 5% value on Edelman, let's just say it does, or 5 or 10%, you're still getting a side benefit, which is that if he's not getting peppered with targets constantly,
he's healthier.
Yeah, because this is a guy where the one problem we've had with him is sometimes he goes down.
Well, he just goes into contact. He's fearless, and that can hurt him.
And what we've seen is that when the Patriots need him, when other people are hurt, when the game is on the line, they will sit there and throw the ball at him time after time
Yep.
And, you know, maybe not having that scenario play out so often is not a bad thing for him. Because here's the thing. When they start going to that mode, it doesn't necessarily increase his fantasy value because the defense starts leaning on him.
Yep.
And it's a lot of, like, 7 yards and a big hit at the end of the play. So I would almost rather have him lose a target here or there and become more efficient and dangerous.
Yeah, get more weeks out of him.
Yes.
I agree with you. Yep. All right, so other things I gleaned from last night were actually on the other side of the ball, a couple things.
There's a couple to talk about
there. Yeah, there is. So last week we were talking about tight ends in terms of there's a lot of them, and I kind of started the conversation with, you know, it's such a class of, like, the top of the ladder with the tight ends is so talented. Guys like, you know, guys like O.J. Howard and Evan Engram and all down the line. But I just kind of mentioned the veterans. And one of the veterans we talked about that we were not scared about a week ago was Delanie Walker on the Titans. And look, he was in just, I think, for a couple series, but he's coming off a pretty serious injury, and he made a nice catch over the middle. It just looks like Delanie's back. So I had him firmly as a potential tight end one, high tight end two, and I've got him right there. I saw nothing last night that worries me. In fact, it probably reinforces a little bit. So he looked good on one catch.
He looked fine. Yeah. I'm not excited about him, but he looked fine.
Guy you can fall back on, though, if you know what I mean?
Oh, no doubt. He's a tie a knot in the rope. And
yep.
Yeah, I mean, if you end up with Delanie Walker as your tight end starter, you're okay.
Yep.
I'm with you.
Agree.
There are a couple other things, though. I'm going to let you talk about Deion Lewis.
Yep. He had a little bit of...
You brought him up to me.
Yeah,
I agree with what you said.
Yeah, there was one play where I saw that old Deion, that little whoop, that could kind of make people miss type of thing. So he looks like he still has that, and that's interesting because I think that's an offense that's going to need him. You know, he didn't have a great year last year, and a lot of people are talking about Derrick Henry, which they should, but I think Deion's going to be a factor in that offense.
They need him to be.
Yep.
And the thing is, I think what you're seeing is that he's still Deion Lewis if you don't wear him out. You know, look, with the Patriots, they created positive running situations for him. He didn't get as worn out. With the Titans, it's tough sledding a lot of the time.
Yep.
All right. And when you give, if you give a little back, high volume, in a tough sledding situation, by week eight, he's not going to be the same. And that's sort of what we saw with Deion last year, is that, you know, this isn't the Patriots anymore. I'm getting whacked around back here. If they can go to a situation where it's more like 20 for Henry, 10 for Deion, but keep it consistent, like don't let Deion have two carry weeks, I think they could. That backfield could really perform well.
Yeah, he could be
a value in a draft.
Yeah.
Now, I'm with you on Deion. I thought he looked good. I thought his feet were back. Because the second half last year, his feet looked a little dead, which is weird for that particular player. But
that's his whole game.
How about Jeremy McNichols?
Yeah, how about he got
number 30?
Yeah, he
bounced around a little bit. We knew he had a receiving.
He was on San Francisco last year, right?
He was on San Francisco. Yeah. He started with Tampa Bay, and he hasn't stuck on a team yet, but they look like they had some ideas for him because he had that touchdown called back, right?
Yeah.
But if you look the next play, they had him lined up out wide, and they hit him on a little slant. So that got my attention.
Yeah, they were moving him around a lot,
over
and above what looked like 30 carries.
Yeah, if he makes that roster and there's an injury to Deion or to Henry, he could be somebody to keep an eye on.
Yeah, I think if you're the type like Pete and I that are in a couple of deep, deep drafts where we have 12 teams, anywhere from 20 to 25 players on each roster, that's a good late roster add potentially. That's an upside guy.
Yeah. And I thought Corey Davis, he had one play where he didn't come up with the ball, but other than that, I thought he looked pretty good.
Can I tell you, he did look good, but can I tell you who else looked good?
Like,
he is big. But you know what? He actually didn't look as big as he normally does because the Patriots' second round draft pick, Juwan Williams, was right up with him. I thought he played really well. Now this is a fantasy show, so I don't get too wonky with the cornerbacks.
We can talk corners on fantasy, man. That's going to be important stuff.
He held his own with Corey Davis, and Corey Davis looks statistically hasn't broken out yet, but he's an alpha receiver. He's a really good receiver. He's on the
Very
Titans,
underrated.
Folks. You know, if he was on the Saints, he might be doing a little bit more, but you know what I mean? But he's on the Titans.
The Patriots, you never would have traded for Josh Gordon.
Yeah.
Nah, I mean, you wouldn't have.
Yeah. He's a great, he's a really talented receiver. Yeah. And your rookie cornerback hung with him all game long that he was out there. I was impressed.
Yeah. No, that's definitely a good sign. And I just thought Davis looked like he was moving well. And Mariota looked functional. It wasn't gorgeous. But when he had some time, he was getting the ball in there.
Actually, I thought Tannehill played.
Tannehill looked good.
Tannehill looked all right. There might be.
I only caught a very little bit of him, but Ryan Tannehill is a guy where if that knee comes back 100%, some people forget that he's actually a mobile quarterback. You know?
Yeah, you don't have to tell New Englanders, man. I mean, he's been pretty tough on the Patriots.
Right.
The Patriots always have a little trouble against Miami, particularly down there, and he's tended to step up and have his best games against them. But, like, you know, I'm not saying that's a camp battle. It's probably, you know, likely Mariota's, but I wouldn't rule Tannehill out.
I think you're right. It's something just short of a camp battle.
Yeah.
If Mariota, you know, blanks the pooch, yeah, we could have ourselves a camp battle.
Yeah.
I thought Mariota looked okay enough yesterday where he'll probably have the thing. But the bottom line is Tannehill's very important. Because they haven't been able to keep Mariota healthy, and when Mariota's gone down, as bad as people think he is, the whole thing falls apart.
Yeah.
Right? So now, you know, if Mariota gets slammed on his elbow in the first quarter, they don't have to sit there and gut the game out with him at quarterback because they're terrified of Blaine Gabbert.
Right. Whatever cheese they have below him, too.
Yeah. You think we're scared of Gabbert. Apparently, Vrabel was even more scared of Gabbert. Yeah. So
he knew what he didn't have in that case.
Exactly. So now they have a place they can go, and the offense will continue to function. And that's important.
We're going to take a little break, but just one thing on Tannehill. The one thing he does have is guts. You know, I'll give you that. He's a kind of a gritty kid. So if Mariota were to get the job and go down, I think Tannehill just comes in snapping and throwing. It's just the kind of the makeup he has from my eyeballs.
He was a receiver in college.
There you go.
It's good to remember that.
Yep. All right. We're going to take a little break. We'll be back with more Patriots and more fantasy football stuff. It's draft season. We've got a lot to get to. Sports Radio, WEEI.
This is Boston Sports Station. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, the Pats had another victory last night in preseason game two against the Titans. Final score, 22-17. Brady did not get in the game, and that was expected, but rookie quarterback Jarrett Stidham finished after a rough start, 14 of 19 for 193 and a touchdown. Looked pretty good, particularly middle of the third quarter through the fourth quarter. Not a bad job by him. Another notable rookie from last night, we just talked about him, running back Damian Harris out of Alabama, rushed for 80 yards on 14 carries. Also had four nice catches on four targets, if you missed that. The Sox got another win last night, extending their winning streak to four games. They beat the lowly Orioles 4-0. Eduardo Rodriguez racks up his 14th win of the season. Seven shutout innings for Rodriguez last night. Good job by him. And they pick back up at 1 o'clock. Chance to sweep the Orioles. Nathan Eovaldi back on the mound. It'll be Eovaldi's first start since April 17th. Joe Castiglione and Dale Arnold will be in the booth. Kick off things today with Will Fleming in your pregame show at 12:05 right here on the WEI Shaws and Star Market Red Sox Radio Network. Other Red Sox news, not good. Bad news for Chris Sale. He'll be placed on the 10-day IL with elbow inflammation. The team will get a second opinion from Dr. James Andrews. That's never really good. That's what's trending now on WEI and WEI.com. All right, welcome back. Jim Hackett, Pete Davidson. Lots of Pats talk from last night and getting into the fantasy football stuff as we are in prime draft season. We've got our big one coming up Saturday. I'm excited about. Yep,
looking forward to that.
Should be a lot of fun.
Sure.
So a little bit of funny news that came out. I mean, there's like it's sometimes you're kind of scrambling to see what's out there. But there was a tweet this morning from I think it's a Dallas beat reporter that Ezekiel Elliott was seen flying home to Dallas Fort Worth. Could he just have been going home,
leaving Mexico?
Yeah, leaving Mexico, or is there something else there?
Keeping Zeke in Mexico is a good idea, because you know there's no American law enforcement down there. No, I didn't mean that the way it sounded, but I mean, like, you know, you can only get in trouble if you're just hanging out in the U.S. You know,
yeah, that's true.
Hang out in Mexico.
Yeah.
Squirrel! Not the dumbest thing in the world. That could have been Jerry Jones' idea, is sort of my point.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, the fact that he's coming back, it sounds like his weight is down. It's probably a good sign.
You're not, just in terms of like where he is in fantasy, though, I mean, you're not really bumping him down too much.
Bumped him down. I have him at the bottom of the tier that he's in.
Yeah, the top four running backs, right.
Here's my thing on Zeke. And look, I admit this is nothing but touchy-feely nickel psychology. I admit it. But what I know of Jerry Jones, what we all know of Jerry Jones, and what the Cowboys have done to get to the spot where they are now, where they're actually pretty good.
Yeah, they got a shot.
And I'm a big fan of their new OC, Kellen Moore. I'm a really big fan. I'm excited to see what that offense might look like now. It might be less static. You know, get Garrett out of there. But I just the idea that Jerry Jones, at this stage, after everything they've done, after drafting Elliott high with that offensive line, with things now in place, and they've got Amari Cooper.
Drafting Michael Gallup.
And the division is a little bit down. If they can just get around Philly, they've got this thing.
Yeah.
And now they're suddenly, as I said the other day, going to grow a brain. and realize running back value and start acting accordingly. I mean, that just doesn't make any sense.
Doesn't sound like Jerry Jones. I think you're right. I think
it's like a cat starting to bark.
Yeah.
It's just not. I just don't see it happen.
They're gonna pay him.
I mean, will they stare him down? Will they try to get some of their money back? Will they try to save some face and not just cave? Maybe, but when it comes right down to it, I just see Zeke Elliott in camp before the 30th.
Well, the whole thing, the whole offense, we've been saying it for years, the whole offense there in Dallas runs through him, right? And Jerry Jones is like as vain as it gets. He's chomping at the bit, man. He wants back in a big way.
Right.
So it just adds up.
Yeah, look, people can talk up Tony Pollard all they want. I'm not the biggest fan, personally. I mean, sure, if you give him a bunch of touches behind that line, is he going to put up nice fantasy stats?
Yeah.
Absolutely. If Zeke's out? Would you want Pollard? Sure. But, you know, first of all, don't discount Mike Weber, the kid from OSU. He's pretty good, too. And he got dinged up in camp. Like, at some point, he could become a big factor on early downs. But, look, again, the idea that they're going to suddenly become pound-wise penny-foolish instead of the opposite, I just don't buy it. They want Zeke Elliott on the field too badly. The negotiating game's going to go on, but at the end, I think, even if, and I think both sides may give a little bit in the end.
Mm.
And by the way, you know, I really hope Melvin Gordon and his representation see the light at some point.
They're doing
themselves a disservice.
That one I'm more worried about because
The
Chargers have a history.
I baited him into the bottom of the third.
Yeah, well, the Chargers have a history of digging in. I mean, and they do. Yeah, they did.
I mean,
that
goes back to A.J. Smith, who's gone, but still, I agree with you.
They did it to LaDainian Tomlinson, if I remember correctly.
Right. Well, that's what
Nate Drum means before then.
Vincent Jackson, LaDainian Tomlinson, they have a history, but that is sort of like 2013, 2012-ish. We have to go back there. But you're right. I mean, you know, it flows from the very top. And but look, in this particular case, I don't know that I blame them. You know, I they've got a really good three-man backfield.
Eckler and Jackson.
I wouldn't just pay
good.
Melvin what he wants. Melvin's not that good.
Yeah, he's not. I mean, if he wasn't holding out, he wouldn't be in that top tier. He'd probably be at the back of the second tier, you know, with David Johnson being at the front of it. That's how I kind of see him.
Yeah, I had
James Conner.
I had Melvin
range.
At the turn.
Yeah,
I had him at the end of the first, beginning of the second.
Yeah, that feels about right.
And he's really good, and you know, he's with Rivers, and you can count on him. And if he's healthy and ready to go, I'd move him right back up there. But as of now, I'm concerned we don't see this guy till week like 10.
What's interesting on that situation, Pete, beyond Melvin Gordon, is kind of like what happens, you know, below him with Eckler and Justin Jackson. I think the early reaction was everyone jumping, you know, if they were drafting early to grab Eckler. I wouldn't rule out Justin Jackson. That looks like a split maybe to me.
I think Eckler's the right guy to grab, but I think if you look at cost, you can make a good argument for Jackson, because if you want Eckler, you're probably going to have to move into that 6th to 8th round area, depending
early.
On your draft, whereas you might be able to get Jackson in the 10, 11, 12 area. So from a standpoint of value, I think you're right, because I think these guys are likely to be fairly close in terms of touches. The thing people need to understand is the more your league rewards receptions, I think the more it swings to Eckler, even at an even touch rate, because he's going to get a higher percentage of receptions.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, he's always been the third down back. You know, he's the guy who comes in there.
Right.
So,
but the thing I think people need to understand, both of these backs are a little undersized, and if San Diego is going to go with just these two and without Gordon, they're probably going to split time.
Makes sense.
Just because they're both in that 194-poundish area.
Yep. Speaking of the kind of the unstable assets that we just don't know a lot about, a little Elliott and a little Melvin Gordon, want to hit quickly AB and Andrew Luck?
Wherever you want to go.
I was
going to
say, Andrew Luck, he kind of like surfaced.
Well, yeah, last week I'm like, dude, we don't know anything. Let's not talk about this. This week it's like now we don't know 10 things about him.
You know?
It's like it's all speculation. But now at least it's like, okay, so there's lower foot stuff, leg stuff. It sounds like he's got some type of growth that's causing some discomfort. I think the important thing to remember here is we're dealing with a foot thing. As long as this guy can get on the field, his shoulder's okay. It's not like it's a knee. It sounds like this is something that will get cleaned up eventually, but they're going to have to find a way to work through this season.
Mm.
You know, I don't know what type of pain medication they might be able to use to get through this, but this could be that kind of situation, because as long as you're not risking compensation injuries and such, he can probably gut this thing out. The thing we have to really look at now is week one availability. The fact that they've got some film on him moving around yesterday, that was really positive. I don't know if you caught that, but he looked okay.
Yeah. It's better than throwing Nerf balls, which he was last spring. I mean, that was concerning.
Right. He's throwing. Yeah, that was like a big. In fact, it was a big deal when he was throwing the Nerf.
I throw Nerf balls. Okay.
He's graduated from the tennis ball to the Nerf ball.
Yeah, that was.
And actually, the first couple weeks of the season, he looked like a guy who'd been throwing a Nerf ball all offseason.
Yeah.
But the thing with Luck, and I mean, he's easy to fade. You know, it's like, okay, he's more risky. I'm going to fade Luck for a while. That's
such
not a
deep,
big deal.
Such a deep position.
Exactly. Too. I don't lose any sleep over that. It's the stuff associated to him that's giving us a problem.
Okay, yeah.
Is Paris Campbell an upside guy now? Is T.Y. Hilton middle of the third? I've moved him down to the end of the third. I'm hoping to move him back up soon.
Yeah.
Marlon Mack, if Luck's not running this offense, you know, that's being the early down back suddenly isn't as attractive as it was before.
He should take if you're right, he's the guy who should take the biggest hit, because there's a lot of hype about him over the, you know, coming into training camp over the summer, right. You know, so.
And if the team goes from being ahead in games to being behind in games,
yep.
Then the value of Mack is lessened and the value of maybe Nyheim Hines comes up.
Yeah.
And we can get Hines really late.
Yep.
Yeah, so there's that.
Yep. So that's something just to kind of keep an eye on. Again, kind of moving them down, but you know, keep an eye on what's happening, and then but just take a long view in terms of the entirety of the situation from Hilton, Campbell, Mack, all the way down.
And it's easy to forget. We're going through all these running backs and Luck, and it's easy to forget, man. We've got two elite receivers that are having trouble now. AJ Green.
Yeah.
I mean, for all we know, we may not see him until October.
He's off my board, basically.
He's off my board unless he really slips.
Yeah.
Now we've got Keenan Allen.
Yeah, he's got an ankle.
Sounds like he'll probably be back for week one, but this is definitely something to keep an eye on. I've moved him down two spots.
Keenan Allen with an ankle, that's concerning because he's one of those underneath, you know, kind of PPR guys, reception
Very
guys.
Needs to, I'm totally with you on that.
Needs to cut, needs to dig in, you know what I mean? And, like, that's concerning. And he's a guy.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, but he's also a guy that's had some injuries, you know, throughout his short career. So,
well, maybe him not playing for the rest of the preseason could be a good thing.
It might help him, yeah.
But to your point, we want to find out, is that a high sprain or a low? If it's a low, I'm not worried at all about his long-term season. But if it's a high ankle sprain, then, you know, I might just keep him downgraded through spots.
Yeah, and you're talking ligaments when you talk about ankles. Like, did you see the that documentary Free Solo? And you should see it. It's phenomenal. But he takes a tumble off the mountain and has his first injury is like a high ankle sprain. But the doctor actually says, you know, anytime it's an ankle, it's a ligament.
Yeah, that's right.
You know what I mean?
Ankle ligaments, like when people say, oh, it's a ligament in the ankle, people start freaking out. It's like, dude, it's always a ligament in the ankle. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
I don't even think I have ligaments in my ankles anymore.
He was attacked. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to hit more Pats, more fantasy stuff coming up on Sports Radio WEEI. Yeah. All right. Jim Hackett, Pete Davidson, back at you. Fantasy Football Hour.
Speed metal on a
Sunday
morning.
Yeah, bring it. You can close out with that if you like, Joe. Crash into the gate on my way out here.
I'm running around like a chicken with my head cut off right now.
I can't slam my head into the desk right now. I've got a mic on my face.
Yeah. All right. So we've been talking a lot of Patriots week preseason two and kind of everything that happened there. A lot of Josh Gordon and getting more into the fantasy stuff as we get ready to close the show. And there are some kind of, you know, emerging topics that I kind of wanted to hit. One is, and
we could use a 5-hour show right now.
Yeah, we could. I mean, it ramps up. You can see when the text line is humming once week one
Worth
comes.
Worth noting, I am going to update the Rotobon ranks this afternoon. If anyone's drafting tonight, just that's good information. Cheat sheets are up, and we're going to have more podcasts next week. Jim and I are going to get into a regular podcast schedule starting next week.
Yeah, we're back, baby. It's been tough to find a studio, but we got in a firm rotation, so they're going to kind of be dropping on lab Saturday mornings, like late Friday night they'll go up, but most people catch them on Friday mornings. It'll be nice, right in your mug, ready to go.
Can't wait. Cannot wait.
Yeah, it'd be good. So we'll knock that out. So, hey, a couple topics I wanted to hit with you.
Let's do it.
One is, we did a draft last week, and you made an interesting pick with Kyler Murray. Which made sense, and I heard your rationale.
I don't know how much sense it made. It was something. Listen, sometimes when I do drafts, I want to experiment a little bit.
Yeah,
I mean, when you do what I do, you want to try things, and I had this idea that in this draft, people were going to really fade quarterbacks,
and you're right,
and that I would have a chance to pull off something that I thought would be interesting. And was it optimal strategy? Probably not. If you look at my quarterback rankings, I went against my own rankings to do what I did. But I am, as you know, I've always been a fan of quarterbacks who give you big foot points.
Yep.
And no quarterbacks give you foot points like young first and second year quarterbacks.
Yeah, because they haven't
been willing to let them go,
right? Yeah, and they haven't had the injuries yet, and they don't have the conscience yet. Yeah, absolutely.
Right. So, and you've got, well, there's a whole bunch of reasons. So, yeah, I went out of order at quarterback. I took Kyler Murray. I took him ahead of some other really good quarterbacks, but the other thing is I also waited till the eighth round. So, you know, you could attack me on, I think, the order of the quarterbacks, but I don't think I went early to get Kyler Murray necessarily, or maybe a round or something like that. But what I wanted to do was get quarterbacks who are going to run like crazy. And what I did is I took Kyler, and then I got Duke Johnson the round after that because I really wanted to get him. And that was the whole thing, is I knew the quarterbacks were going to go really slow.
Yep.
And then I was able to get, I think it was in the 10th, I got Lamar Jackson as well.
Well, I think it's a smart hedge. People kind of raise their brows to that. It's like, why would you, you know, waste that pick? But it's like, you know, those guys are putting their bodies out on the line in a big way. So, you know, I think it's a smart hedge. I never think that's dumb.
Well, yeah, whether it was smart or dumb, I think there was at least a valid reason to do it.
Yeah.
I was committing to a paradigm. We'll see. You know, we'll know like in a month and a half if I'm an idiot.
So here's what I wanted to throw past you is, like, you know, Thursday night, Arizona didn't look so good. And
right.
So I just wonder if, like, you know, if that made you queasy at all, like, you know, but or is it just, I mean, just it's his, you know, really his first action, so I wouldn't be too concerned about it. But,
well, I don't think Kyler Murray played bad. I think he didn't have a chance.
Yeah.
I mean, if you watch the film, it was like a jailbreak. So if that offensive line is so bad that he's getting 1.5 counts to deal, then yeah, this is a total problem, and I'm going to regret the pick. There's no doubt about it.
That would worry me about David Johnson, too, a little bit.
Pass protection can be overrated because, you know, and there's a lot of good data analysts right now who are showing people with data what you and I have known for a long time, which is that sacks, you know, a lot of the time have nothing to do with the OL. It has to do with the quarterback.
Yeah, holding the ball too long, yeah.
That wasn't the problem. So what they need out there is a modicum of pass protection.
Yeah.
And if they don't get it, it's going to be a huge problem.
Yep.
And we'll have to see. It's up to Kingsbury and their coaches to get that line just a little bit functional.
Yeah. It worries me more about David Johnson than it does Kyler Murray. But
yeah, it's definitely an issue with David Johnson. Yep. And it's funny. Everybody's talking about Kyler Murray. You're like the third person, Jimmy, who I've heard who's actually gone there quickly because – you're a veteran and you know fantasy football.
Yeah.
The thing we should be worried about right now is David Johnson.
Yeah,
it's easy to fade Kyler Murray and not take him a quarterback.
Yep.
If you're in the 6 or the 5 hole, you have to deal with David Johnson.
Yep. Yep. There's a lot of factors to deal with, like stuff that we just don't know yet. You know, like Gurley comes to mind. And I kind of like in the draft we were in last week, I think it was like end of round 2, and a guy just slapped him on the board, like, I'm doing it. And if you're going to do it, you have to have that conviction. You can't be like wishy-washy about it because we just don't know. There's too much we don't know.
It's funny how Gurley seems to get taken is one of the people right before the guys who got elite running backs seems to go, man, I don't know if I want this guy or not,
right.
But I'm not letting the Elliott guy get him.
Yeah.
I'm not letting the Kamara guy get him. Like, that seems to be what's going down in the second round, and I could sort of understand that.
But also, if you're a good drafter and you're going to build a good team, like, you know, it wouldn't be the first time that your first or second pick was a bust. You know, it happens.
Well,
so they get injured.
Yeah, look, I don't know, man.
I don't know. But hear what I'm saying.
You don't want your second rounder goes down. You're in a world of hurt.
It's true. But, like, you know, last year, you know, if, like, for those who drafted Le'Veon Bell, for instance, you know, early before the holdout was getting, like, really serious, if you got James Conner, you might have been all right if you got him later, you know?
Yes. You can,
As an example.
If you're good, you can overcome, but you don't want to put yourself in a situation where you're
it's certainly not a strategy. No.
Yeah, I mean, I whipped a team that had Leonard Fournette as its first-round pick into the playoffs last year.
Yep.
I don't know if it's because I was a good drafter. I think it's because I got lucky and I got McCaffrey in the second round.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know. I know what you're saying, but I mean, I've been talking on Gurley the whole time saying people are giving up on this guy too soon. I still haven't come to a conclusion yet.
Yeah.
And we're not going to see him in preseason, so this is – you know, I have an appointment to talk to a friend of mine who's a physical, who's a sports physical trainer, and I'm going to talk to him about the knee. I'm probably going to do that on Tuesday, and I might have a little bit to say after I do that. But my whole thing is, with Gurley, there was an injury and there's a condition, and I don't know exactly where those two things intersected, and I don't know what the status of the injury is, and do we know if the injury made the condition worse? It's a really complex situation, but if it's a situation where he had a condition which was exacerbated by the injury, but now the injury is gone, does that mean that we're now back to the Todd Gurley we saw last September? Because if that's the case,
chips in.
He's worth more than a late second round pick.
Right.
So it's, you know, it really comes down to what you believe.
The other thing I don't like about the Gurley situation, just to kind of sharing my thoughts, is, like, you know, sometimes you have a situation like this, it's very clear, you know, who the guy behind him is going to be. So, like, last year with Le'Veon Bell, it's like, all right, I know Pittsburgh, at least last year and before, commits to one back. If he goes down to get Connor gets the juice. With the Rams, what I don't like is, like, there's a lot of backs on that team. You know, they drafted Darrell Henderson, a rookie. Malcolm Brown's a good back. John Kelly's a good back. You know,
he's certainly talented.
Yeah, and I don't know if I want to take 4 handcuffs. You know what I mean? Or 3 handcuffs.
Well, I think you take Henderson or Brown right now. Probably Henderson, just because he seems to be getting the work. But I agree with you that it's definitely something to watch. Like, over the next 2 weeks, we may find out that they start moving away from Henderson because he's not picking the scheme up quick enough. That's something to keep an eye on.
Yep.
But they seem to be pushing him in there. They like him, and they seem to really want to get him in. So right now, I'm still on Henderson. But, I mean, you bring up a good point in that there are some talented backs in this backfield. Here's the thing with the Rams. Somebody's going to be putting up a lot of stats.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you believe in one of these backs, if you're not a Henderson guy and you believe in Brown and you're not drafting Gurley, well, you should be targeting Brown. I mean, you should be targeting him. You follow me?
If you
think Gurley's a bad investment and you're off Henderson, then you should be all in on Brown.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And you can grab that guy in the 13th round. What are you, nuts? Go do it.
Yeah. It's interesting. It's a dynamic we need to look for. So we're going to be talking a lot more fantasy stuff. And we always like sprinkle in Patriots because I need to get my fix. But we've got a lot more fantasy stuff because we're in the prime draft season. So Pete at Rotobon on Twitter, at Rotobon, the rankings, top 500. So you can get knee-deep in that stuff.
And the Rotobon draft plan is going to be up midweek.
Yep, and we'll be podcasting on Friday. It'll probably drop Friday night, Saturday morning, and then back next week in the height of the draft season, which will be fun. You can follow me on Twitter at WEI Hacksaw. Pete is at Rotobon. And I think we've got Wiggy Bradford and Reamer coming up. Is that right, Joe?
Yes, that is correct.
All right.
Stay tuned for that.
They're at Fenway, and we'll be back next week. So long, everybody.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.